Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't know how you're attacking Twitter. No, it's not about Twitter.
I'm just saying.
I just asked people, what do you think?
You're basing it off what you just heard. What, 10 tweets?
It's Mike Shope.
If you went to guys that were businessmen right now, power players, I don't think we're going back to saying that they're 60 or 70-year-old guys.
And the Bulldog.
Obviously, the conversation's over your head, and I apologize to you. And by the way, the number is now 42. We've had 42 tweets about it.
By the way, nothing's over my head that you say.
It's Mike Shope.
Relax.
You know what, Doug? Shut up.
No.
Yeah.
Don't ever tell me to shut up.
Shut up.
You're not man enough to tell me to shut up.
And the Bulldog.
That's a joke.
You want to go?
I just think...
Seriously, you don't ever say that to me. Bull crap.
Why would you tell a man to shut up? Either...
You know what? Seriously, you got a problem?
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you will feel better by punching me, go ahead.
On WGR.
Who's talking about what to do tomorrow on the show? Let's get those two guys. They're out there.
Bull crap. It's just so...
Bull
it's
crap.
Just so, I mean, whatever. We all have our
Let's
moments, I suppose. It's just so bad. it somehow makes the whole thing even more comical to me. Is that because you know I'm ready to fight you. I'm ready to fight my co-host. I'm challenging you to a fight, but I can't say.
You can't swear.
I can't. Yeah, right. I cannot call you on your BS. I have to instead say
that's awesome.
Bull crap.
Right. It's like I'm in a movie that's been edited.
Like so. Challenging you to a fight is completely within the bounds of normalcy for our job. It's totally fine that I want to punch you and we work together, but I can't say that.
It's like watching The Godfather on Channel 4.
Right. Oh. So you went to Toronto yesterday for this ball game, thinking you were going to see Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Well, I mean, I was hoping to, and I wasn't assuming I would, but yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I did.
That's not
why I went. So, I mean, it'd be fine as a reason.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah.
To see Guerrero. Guerrero's a very special person right now in baseball and sports. But Friday on this show, when you were off, Mark Kestisher was on talking about the NBA. He's ESPN Radio's lead play-by-play guy. He's in Toronto. Or it was going to be, and he said, Monday 105, if you're not busy. Some of you heard it. And then I got off the air, and I thought, yeah, I want to do that. So I checked with you, and I checked with our boss, and everybody was pretty much fine. The Bisons offered tickets up. I asked the Bisons. And so there it was. And then yesterday morning, I was here heading up, and I checked the tickets. And I realized we're right behind third base.
Mm-hmm.
So perfect. Guerrero. Like, he, of course he'll play. I mean, guys get rest days, but he's super young and he hasn't been up for that long. And it's a home game on a holiday.
Right. And he's hot. Like, I think he might have been the rookie of the week.
He was
right. He hit four home runs last week, I think.
Player of the week.
Okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
That's even more of an honor. How special for him.
Yeah, I mean, player of the week. Sports, you just don't know.
Right.
So anyway, he homered in the eighth inning in Chicago on Sunday. They beat the White Sox, and they're coming home, and I just didn't think twice about it. Like, I don't think I've ever not gone to a game I was going to because of a lineup move, but...
Right.
I was really excited about him to go with Mark and to see Guerrero. And I also thought, without really, just an assumption, that there would be a big crowd because it's a holiday.
Right, Victoria Day.
Boston, David Price, Guerrero, like I thought it'd be a big crowd. It wasn't. They announced almost 27, and it felt way smaller than that. It probably was. And Guerrero was scratched, and I don't know. Like, I have to acknowledge that in sports now, like I'm numbers guy, I'm what's my edge, you know, when teams do things that old school doesn't like, when even like most fans aren't really accustomed to. I'm usually the guy who sticks up for the move. The shift actually works, so when announcers make fun of the shift because the one time it didn't work, well, it actually works. So sorry. Like, I'm that guy, as you probably know. And so if you want to give players rest days in the NBA, in baseball, I get it. It's not a great thing because, like, moving over to basketball, you have LeBron James or you have Steph Curry or Durant, one of these guys, and Golden State is going to your city for the only time this season, and they're not going to play.
Right.
That's bad.
Kawhi sat out 22 games doing this for Toronto this year.
22 games, and he's, like, the next level down maybe, but you could certainly, like, if you're a big NBA fan, you could certainly get up for him and he doesn't play. It also maybe cost them the one seed.
Yeah,
because
maybe
they decided to take a quarter of this, he'd take a quarter of the season off.
Right.
And so, okay, but that's a different right. conversation.
But it happens in sports. It's where we
It happens.
Yeah. It hasn't gotten to hockey yet, but with all the attention that this story got today and yesterday, I'm seeing people just sort of guessing. And when does this hit the beach in the NHL?
And we've talked about that plenty of times, like with Rob. They've done it with goalies forever.
Right.
Some nights you don't get Hasek. You go to the Sabre game and you don't get Hasek. Like, that's part of it. But having said all that, like, this one I just thought was weird.
It definitely was weird.
You couldn't sit him in Chicago the day before.
Or tonight even.
But David Price, holiday, afternoon, home game, what? And so, I don't know. Like, I think that teams, I mean, I fight with fans a lot. I argue with fans a lot. But I'm usually, like, the fans' advocate. Or not usually, but often. I mean, I think there are lots of times when it's right to be, and I don't hear other people doing it. And, like, this is also kind of a related point, thinking about NFL teams resting guys in the last game when they've clinched their spot. And I've always thought, well, it's hard because both things make sense to me and they're contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
The fans deserve better than your guys resting for the playoffs. I mean, it's 16 games, 8 home games. I just think that that's wrong. And so what should win out? I mean, baseball guys are going to get days off. But
right.
The team, I feel like the team had an obligation. And partly the reason I do is because they're bad.
I think that's exactly what I'm waiting to say. I think, the Raptors sat Leonard 22 times this year by choice so that he'd be excellent, you know, as excellent as he can possibly be for them right now, because their season was going to be a great season. They had a good record in the games he sat, even. They're a good team. No, they're not the one seed, but they wanted him, and he had a serious injury problem the year before with San Antonio. It's part of the reason he ended up in Toronto in the first place. So your reasoning, yes, it would be frustrating if the only game that I bought tickets to go to a Raptors game for, he was not playing. Like, that would bum me out. But at least you have the season you are attempting to have be special to sort of duck behind, just like a team in the NFL that has clinched everything and they want to sit Peyton Manning. Like, okay, like, I hear what you're saying about the fans, but I'm a Colts fan and I'm going to go, I don't go near the field, dude. I need you in 2 weeks. Don't worry about it. But this is, you are having a bad year. You already kept him from your team to preserve his, you know, his rights longer, his contractual, like, just to put a throttle on his ability to make as much money as soon as he can. So you've already done that, and yet you're terrible, and everyone knows it. You know it. You're not going to be good this year. So it to me is just tone deaf in that nobody involved in the decision, when they figured out the calendar for the day off, went, hey, that's Victoria Day. Maybe because none of the guys making the decision are Canadian. And it's just a Monday day game. Like, well, that's weird. I don't know. Like, I'm just imagining no one really realizing what they're doing when they decide that's his day off. And you know, to not be able to change it or just have some flexibility with it. Like, of course you don't want to. They're playing 16 games in a row. I heard the manager say yesterday, like, okay, you're gonna, everybody's gonna get a day off. Don't give that guy that day off. Sure, it wasn't a packed house. I mean, the place holds, what, 55 when it's full? But still a bigger crowd than they've been drawing.
Is it?
I believe so, yeah.
It probably should be.
Yeah. That's how I heard some Canadian radio yesterday, and that's how they were talking about it. I did not check what their average attendance is so far this year for home games. But just give your fans a little something. That's all. You know, it's a school holiday. It's a holiday. You're going to have kids there for a day game, and you know, and the guy is red hot. It's not the move.
Yeah, he's their best player.
Right.
It's their best everything.
So I just thought it was really just, you know, it's really tough. Just you know, we wonder sometimes if our teams are paying attention to what's going on out here. And, you know, you probably overdo that, but you should have some idea of what your fans are looking for and what they want from you. And I just think yesterday the Blue Jays just looked like they had no idea what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Their best player. So.
Yeah. Who decides? How is it decided? Is there anybody? And the answers to these questions may be out there, but I don't know them. Is there anybody in the organization with any say, with any power to, you know, make that point? And what happens when the baseball people, the sports people hear it, right? With analytics, there's been this kind of tug of war going on for years. And maybe this is a strange example of it. It's not quite the same as these other ones I'm thinking of. But, you know, analytics says punt less, and the football coach says, who are you? How would you know? Right? And that's the end of it. Like, they have to be heard. So whether it's that or this or both, you know, in a well-run organization, the best-run organizations, there's somebody in the middle. There's somebody above the manager and the analytics people, or the PR guy, the marketing guy who knows there's backlash if Guerrero doesn't play. Like, there's somebody above that who decides it, you know, that can do that and, you know, be respected.
Yeah. They, from what I understand, I did read a little bit about this yesterday because it was interesting to me. There is, from what I know, and I don't know a lot, but I know, I feel confident in saying this on the radio, that they do have, there's an analytics performance group that the Blue Jays work with. And so there's a formula for all of this. Like, it's not just, you know, it's not Charlie Montoya sitting in the office with a cigar throwing darts at the calendar deciding when Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s day off is going to be.
Or doing it out of spite for some reason.
No, it's not. There's a layer of the organization that has the power to, like, say, these are the days off. And it's all scheduled. It's all figured out ahead of time. Montoya even made the point about how Guerrero hadn't played 6 games in a row yet. And yesterday would have been a 7th or something. So, like,
he homered in the 6th.
There's a formula for it. What you need at some point is for the formula to be superseded by someone who just goes, yeah, it's Victoria Day. He's awesome. Put him in the lineup. Shut up. Give him tomorrow off, okay? It'll be okay. He can sleep in a hyperbaric chamber tonight, okay? Get him out there.
I mean, the road game is the easy one. The day easy one. You're counting days in a row or something.
Right.
Then you shorten that. But, I mean, what do you end up, or where do you end up in sports, though? Like, this is, not only is it the reality, and it really has to be, but it's a growing reality. I mean, the analytics performance group is the one saying this guy should play less. We don't have Cal Ripken right now. Somebody who's playing every day,
right?
Because teams think it's better and the player wants to do it.
And you probably never will again.
Maybe not.
You don't even need the probably there. I mean, I just think it's never going to happen.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. So well, how much?
It's a pretty bad job.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny. I opened up yesterday's show, actually. I eventually got to Guerrero because, you know, how much power should the fans have? Like, how much should the organization acquiesce to the fans? You know, the walking off point for the conversation for me yesterday was the hubbub about Game of Thrones. There's a petition and people want them to redo the season and all this stuff. And like, that sounds insane to me, right? But, you know,
how pathetic,
right? Agreed. But here, like, the baseball audience in Toronto, I think, deserved a little better from the organization. You know, they should have had their eyes open. Sabres fans, some of them are mad about the color of the blue in the 50th anniversary logo because it looks like a sign that they're not going back to a royal blue. Like, should that be respected? Your fans seem to want you to do this thing, and they don't seem to care. They're just plowing ahead. We're doing it this way. We like the blue. I don't know. Okay.
Fans should have more say than they have. I mean, that's the easy blanket conclusion. They should have more say than they have. These teams would not exist without them. The sport would not exist without them. The sport would exist, maybe, but they'd play it just in the fields. You know, like, the reason you are what you are is the fans.
Right.
And the idea that fans wouldn't know. I mean, fans are more sophisticated than ever. They're more knowledgeable than ever. You know, maybe there are more of them than ever. Like, there's just every reason to think that well, it's two different things. I mean, that they're all those things is separate. But the fact that they give you money and support you is really all that matters. Whether they're knowledgeable or not, you know, it's up to you to figure that out as a team. Did not get to very much NBA today. You have game four tonight, speaking of Toronto, the Raptors and the Bucks. And real quick, so Golden State is through to the finals for the fifth year in a row. Does it matter for any reason to anyone here who wins the East Series? Do we like the Raptors because they're close? Do we like Milwaukee because maybe Giannis and the Bucks have a better chance, or what?
I like the Raptors. I like the Raptors. I've watched a game in every round so far that they played, and I've watched all parts of all three of these games so far this series. I haven't seen all of any of them. That's right. So yeah, I'm cool with them. Like, I want them to do well. I'd like it. I don't know if it increases or changes any likelihood of what Leonard is going to do, but. Like, the idea of them getting far and him staying appeals to me. I don't think it doesn't factor in at all. He's probably just going to go where he wants to go, and that'll be that no matter what happens. But I'm pulling for them.
Yeah. What's the best final? Like, what's the best finals matchup and result? What would you pick if you could pick?
Ooh. My favorite result, well, I guess it would
be. Is it Toronto winning?
It would be Toronto winning. Yeah. Because
really?
I prefer them over the Bucks, and my favorite final would be Durant comes back and the Warriors lose.
Oh, I have a new
because he's back.
That's good.
Because they're awesome without him. I mean, I don't know, before he got there, didn't they win 63 games or 73 something?
Games.
73 games, whatever the hell it is, like some crazy number, right? Oh my God, I couldn't even say 73 because it's so preposterous. Okay, yeah, I think it's kind of cool that they're just. Cruising along here without him, and I'd love it if he came back and ruined everything.
Because
I don't like him. I just don't like him.
Toronto winning is not my favorite result. I've walked around feeling like that. The thing I want to happen most is I don't think it's going to happen because he's probably going to come back. But I want them to win it with him on the bench. I want them to win the title with Kevin Durant not playing, just to kind of emphasize the point that they did not need him at
that's,
all.
That would probably be my. Well, it's not my second favorite.
Favorite.
But I would like that, too.
Like, yeah, that would do more damage to his rep than anything.
That's not that unlikely. I don't think that it does much damage to him because, you know, they never really needed him. We know that.
He seems to be, him on Twitter yesterday, there were some people talking about, like, this is a nightmare scenario if they win it without him. And Durant was chirping with people on social media, as he tends to do.
He does.
It seems to be getting to him. At least to some extent that people think or people are seeing them win right now without him so easily.
Well, my with or without Kevin Durant, I guess I don't much care in that. I do like watching them more without him, but I don't dislike him really. would be Golden State in four against whoever, because I just want to watch four masterpieces. And hopefully I can stay up and watch four masterpieces. And I think there's a lot to like about the Raptor scene and maybe the team and the Bucks. I guess the same thing. Giannis seems like an interesting guy, but we're doing this for ourselves. That's what Golden State in four. What they just did in the semifinals was like perfect for me. They were down by 17 points or more three times in four games,
yeah.
And they won all four games. Like that is what I would. That's what I would order.
Giannis was invisible in game three, and like a part of the reason I'm going to want to check this game out, at least for a while tonight, is to see if he just goes off. Because it was a story that he was shut down in that game. And the NBA gives you that. Like, you know, like the guy has the opportunity to like fix that tonight. And it's kind of cool.
Hockey tonight, too. Sharks Blues game six. Next, we're going to talk to Eric Wood about his being named the color man in the booth for the Bills on WGR this season. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
WGR.
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
At forward, number five, he still lives with his mother, Carlos Boozer. At forward, number nine, he collects rare birds and has a pet dolphin named Chachi. Luol Deng. At center, number 13, he's a Scorpio and a horrible dancer.
Mike Schoep.
He doesn't speak a lick of English, but we still love him. Gustavo Ayo from Connecticut, where he majored in econ, but he minored in love.
The Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, coffee count three. Let's see what happens. I'm three in.
Good luck with that.
I mean...
I was up until 1 in the morning last Thursday when I had all that coffee during the show. I told you it was going to be bad, and it was bad.
Thursday, was that... what is today? Tuesday?
Yeah. That was the last time we were together.
Thursday was game two of Rockets Houston,
yeah,
or
so
Portland.
I watched the whole thing.
Me too.
I'm
awake.
My wife came downstairs from the attic at midnight and was like, what is even happening? I'm like, I had coffee at like 4 o'clock. I'm wound up.
And I told you it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
And then I'm up there like, I'm really happy. I was really happy, though, to not be tired. Eric Wood, how does coffee work for you afternoons? Like, would you have had coffee this afternoon?
I just had a 16-ounce cup of Tim Hortons and about 30 minutes ago, and I haven't had Tim Hortons in a while. So that tastes pretty good.
So you think you'll be up late because of it, or how maybe will have no effect? What happens next?
No, I would imagine it won't have much of an effect.
Yeah.
But that's also, I think I'm going to hit Elio's and Mulberry tonight. I want to go visit both of those places.
Yeah.
And so I'll be in a food coma, I'm sure.
There'll be some pasta and probably some red wine, and that'll probably offset the effects of the coffee.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good plan.
You even impressed someone behind you with that, Eric. It's like we're in the booth again for a postgame show. Just noises. Eric, what's new in your career or anything? What's new in life?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just accepted two jobs in the last week, and my fall's about to get crazy busy, but I'm looking forward to it. And so I'll be doing ACC Network and also analyst work with the Bills and some added media work. I loved your tweet about taking off the
– Yes.
Yeah, the media content, whatever they announce it as.
Like, yes.
Come on, just –
Thank you. Rip the bandage right off of that arm with this
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
The media content team. As if any of us dreams of being on a media content team. Way to take all the fun out of it.
Right.
Color guy.
Exactly.
Well, I didn't know about the ACC Network gig, so that's also double congratulations. We knew about the Bills thing, obviously, and that's great. You must be pretty pumped. How tough of a sell was it for your wife, and because the family's young, and like that's a lot of running around.
Yeah, for sure. And I accepted the ACC gig first, and then when the Bills one came around, that was just something I couldn't say no to. And those jobs, you know, with Kelso moving on, right as I got some experience last year in the business, and it worked out perfect for me to slide in the booth, you know, it's just something I can't turn down. And Kelso was there for 13 years, and I don't know who would have taken the job if I didn't, but I didn't want to leave it to risk that that I would miss out on this opportunity. So Leslie is very understanding. She knows that I'm not made to sit in the house, and I'm going to have a very busy fall. But the best part about talking about football for a living and not necessarily coaching or playing is that's a 4 to 5 month big time commitment. There'll be some obviously some residual work in the off season, but much different than. What these coaches do for a living.
Oh, for sure.
And players.
Right. And there's prep work, but still, like, you're working Saturdays and Sundays, really. Like, I mean, there'll be travel and stuff, but yeah, it's not a 16-hour a day, 7 days a week thing like coaching would be, for sure.
For sure. And a lot of these rosters in the NFL I'm pretty familiar with already, especially the Bills roster. A lot of the schemes in the NFL I'd either played against or, shoot, played against in practice or played for. You know, that's one of the beauties of playing for 7 head coaches in 9 years. I saw a lot of schemes, and a lot of guys came from different trees. And, you know, when you look around the league, there's not that many coaching trees. You know, there's Andy Reid offenses, there's Rex Ryan defenses, there's Jim Schwartz style defenses. And once you kind of learn the terminology and how they look, I'm not saying I'll be Tony Romo right off the bat in the booth, but you can get predictable, and you can get where you can start forecasting some stuff before it happens.
7 coaches in 9 years. Does that include the interim coaches? That rolled right off the tongue, Eric.
Yeah, I've talked about that a lot, you know, over the past couple years. But yes, that included the interim. So,
all right. That's what you should do.
Yes, and I also had 2 offensive coordinators get fired. So I truly played in, I think, 7 different offenses.
Right. So we know that from last year you were doing some work, some color commentary, and like sort of getting into that. What do you feel like you learned in those? I mean, you know, there weren't that many appearances, but you had some. And now you're full on into it here. You'll be doing games on Saturdays and Sundays. What did you find challenging about doing it? Maybe I'll start there.
So for my game I did with Fox last year, that was Iowa State and Kansas State. And the hardest thing about doing that game was not knowing anything about either team or any of the players in advance. So that was a lot of prep work. It was Thanksgiving week. That's why I got the gig, because nobody wanted to work the game on Thanksgiving week. And I get it. But that was my opportunity to slide in. And thank God, because that was something that got reviewed for ACC and for this Bills gig. But the hardest thing was prepping for the game and just learning about, you know, and these college rosters are so big, so you got to learn about so many players. But I told my wife after I did that game, I said, for the first time in a long time, I was challenged. I had to compete. I had to prep. I was talking ball with coaches and players, and that felt good. I got a real report after the game. So, you know, similar to me after a game, I would always get a grade from my offensive line coach. Well, now you get a grade from a producer, and it might not be a A, B, or C, but from the feedback, you get a pretty crystal clear view of what you need to work on and what you need to improve on. I also did an audition for ESPN, an audition for Fox, and then I did a couple pregame shows for a network called Stadium last year. And through that experience, I got some really good feedback. Some buddies of mine in the business I've reached out to, had them listen to the game I did, and but it's going to be a work in progress. And like anything, and I'm sure something similar you guys would say, is it takes reps, and the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. So me and Murph are definitely going to attack some practice games, because I don't want to go into the preseason and say, well, hey, we'll just, you know,
work out the kinks.
We'll skirt our way through the preseason. You know, similar to how I was as a player, my philosophy on the preseason was you better prepare for those preseason games like you do a regular season game, because anybody can take a clip of you during a preseason game and show it, and that's who you are as a player. Well, same way as an analyst, and I understand I'm going to get better as I go, but I don't want to go screw up early on in this analyst gig and then become a YouTube sensation or something. You know, I want to come in and put my best foot forward.
With Eric Wood, who will be replacing Mark Kelso, one thing you should probably not do in this business is what I've done here, and not say that yet, as we've been talking for like 8 minutes. But Eric will be replacing Mark Kelso. If you didn't know, on our broadcasts here of Bills games this season, about Mark, like, he was not ever, I was not really close with him, but I always admired and respected his real positive energy. Like, he, I think most people would say that that was evident in the broadcasts. And, you know, like, I don't always look forward to the Bills thing when I'm down there, because I feel like a little bit like I'm an outsider. Like, everybody there is working for them, and I feel like I'm not. But Mark was always very, very cool. Like, he, I would say, was always, like, really friendly. And, you know, his positive nature was just, you know, obvious. So I wish him well.
Same here. Yeah.
I echo yeah, likewise. And me as well. And like I said, it worked out perfectly for me that as Mark was going on to focus on different things, his NASCAR team and whatnot, that I had just gotten out of ball and got a little experience, because I don't know if they would have hired me fresh out of the gate if I was just mm-hmm. – if this was my first year out and I had no experience for them to review. I don't know if they would have. But to reiterate what you said, I have never heard anybody say a bad word about Mark Kelso. And to be around – this team for so long as a player and then 13 years as a broadcaster and to have that type of reputation shows what type of man he is.
I'd like to say, too, your story about filling in on Thanksgiving, I think that that's a lot of people in this profession, that your first opportunity comes when, you know, it's someone can't do it or doesn't want to do it. Like, you sort of get bigger, and I'm not working the holidays. Like, I started in radio working on Christmas and on Thanksgiving, or even at the newspaper in Rochester when I was there, because that's when you have a chance. That's when, you know, there's an opportunity for you, and that's kind of cool that that happened for you, Eric.
Yeah, that's a great point. And the funny thing was, so I auditioned with Fox to be doing spot duty for them throughout the year, and they said, you know, inevitably you'll get a game, I'm sure, or you know, they were hoping to get me on, I think, like three games so I could get some experience and then maybe roll that into a deal for this year. Well, I sat around kind of on call all fall. Now, we still went to U of L games, and we went down to Tampa and visited Fitzpatrick. I came up here, I believe, for three games last year. So we traveled, but it was always one of those deals where, hey, Daddy might not be making the trip if I get the call, you know, on a Tuesday of that week and I have to start prepping for a game. And the calls just never came. And I talk a little bit through my podcast, shameless plug, that – you know, I had some anxiety last fall where I was just sitting there, and I know I'm not a stay-at-home dad, and I feel like I have these gifts, and I feel like I should be doing something, and I just wasn't. And so this year, it's going to be the opposite in the fall, but I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Talking with Eric Wood, we'll do some more of that after a break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
Eric Wood is on the Western Hotline with us. It was announced today that he is sliding into the radio broadcast booth on the Bills games here on WGR alongside Murph, replacing Mark Kelso. So how much will you – is your plan to, like, do Saturday games with the ACC network and then travel to either here or wherever the Bills are playing? Are you going to be around a little more than that, you think? Like, what's the lay of the land look like moving forward?
I'm going to have to kind of figure that out as we go. So my contract through ACC Network is an appearance-based deal where that could be studio or booth.
Okay.
So some weeks I think I'll be in Bristol doing more studio stuff, and then other weeks I'll be doing games. I told them I'm good for whatever. I'll be in the booth. I'll do sideline. I will do studio, because I want to gain experience. I want to figure out what I like to do. And I'm just going all in this year. And, you know, I kind of dipped my toe in last year. And like I said, I really enjoyed it. But it's hard to tell if you really enjoy something unless you go all the way in. So, mm-hmm. So there's going to be some crazy times. And I was actually talking to Sal earlier, or Chris Brown, actually, about it earlier today. And he was saying he was doing AAC stuff for UB and then trying to get to Bills games. And there were some crazy times. And I'm sure that'll happen to me this fall. But like I said, this Bills gig was something that I could not turn down. So if that requires some crazy travel from a Saturday, from Raleigh, North Carolina, from mm-hmm. NC State or something to here, so be it.
I don't know if you know Dave Pasch, who is a play-by-play guy, college football, NBA, And I think of him for that because he's got to go sometimes from, I mean, way more remote than Raleigh, like Lubbock or, I don't know, some Ames, Iowa or someplace in Utah or something. He's got to be Arizona Cardinals the next day or wherever they are. It could be in Miami, like wherever. He's got to make that happen, and that's got to be really interesting sometimes.
Yeah.
I have one more question about the job, and then maybe we can talk about the Bills and the season for a few minutes.
Sounds good.
You're a Cincinnati guy, and Lapham in Cincinnati is this. He has this job there. And Eric, like every time I hear a Bengal highlight, he's talking all over it. Like he's a fan in the booth, right? Would you say that? He's just like, you know, you. Sometimes it's hard to understand what happened on the field because this guy is like super energy and like cheering during the play. So I wonder, like, if, I mean, you're aware of him. I wonder if, like, that's how you think you might do it, or would you definitely not be like that, or somewhere in between?
I hope to make a name for myself like Dave Lapham. That's a guy I grew up in, you know, that's the voice I recognize with the Bengals. Mm-hmm. I grew up a Bengals fan, and I've gotten to know him over the years, been to a few Reds games with him in the same suite, and have a ton of respect for him. And when I think of radio color, Dave Lapham is the guy that comes to my mind.
Right.
You know, because as a player, I never really heard Kelso. You know, when I would watch a TV copy of a game, it would generally be to see if my calls got picked up on the TV footage. So I would maybe hear the announcers, the TV mm-hmm. announcers, but I would rarely ever hear the radio broadcast. And one of the big things I've heard in this business is just be yourself. And for me, that's probably generally a positive, probably a little bit more positive spin, positive energy. And then the good thing about the radio, too, is I'm doing Bills radio, so I don't necessarily need to be biased or
you
unbiased.
You need to worry about it, right?
Yeah, I don't necessarily need to be unbiased, right, so I can cheer. And I am a Bills fan. Even as I was out my first year last year, I wanted them to win every game. And, heck, if they go on and win it all without me, so be it. But I want the Bills organization to achieve. And so I'll be excited in the booth, I'm sure. And I want to come across as a fan of the team because people tuning in the Bills radio broadcast want to hear that.
Yeah, okay, right? Like, it is a different job. The two jobs mm-hmm. you'll have are very different from each other in that
Correct.
Way. Who's listening? So, yeah, that makes sense. Good. All right, so here we are, Eric. Like, I think, and I'll be interested in knowing what you say about this. I mean, it's, in terms of talking with the fans and as we do on a regular basis, I think, like, a larger than usual number of Bills fans or percentage are expecting them to be good. Like, that this is now it's going to happen. And I think also sort of nationally or objectively, it isn't like that. I mean, the over-under hasn't changed at all. It just looks like maybe any other year from the outside. So do you agree with that sort of observation, and which is right?
Yeah, time will tell which is right. I tend to be on the Bills optimism train, so I'm probably with most of the fans there. I love the pieces that they added this offseason. They added a lot of guys that have experience in this league, especially up front. I expect to see better things from the offensive line this year, better play all around. I defended them even quite heavily on your show last year. You know, being in the first year of an offense is tough. Okay, well, now the whole group's in the second year of an offense, the whole offense in general. Add some pieces for Josh Allen. I really liked what I saw from Josh Allen post-injury. Even if he wasn't putting up 350 yards through the air and they didn't win every game, I liked some of the small advancements in his game, the quicker release time on some things, which is a sign of making pre-snap reads when you can hit a guy right off the snap with the ball, some third down conversions that were right past the sticks with a great accurate ball. It's very well known how much arm talent Josh Allen has. You know, now it's going to be about getting on the exact same page with these receivers all through OTAs, and I'm really excited about that. And then I always have faith in a Sean McDermott coach defense. Those guys are going to play hard. Even from when he was the defensive coordinator in Carolina, their film just looks a little bit different when they play for Sean. Guys love playing for Sean McDermott, and a lot of it comes down to how much he respects the players, gets everyone to buy in and whatnot. But, you know, a Sean McDermott coach defense, like I said, I have a lot of faith in.
There are a lot of changes to your old position group. I mean, not just the center, but the line overall. I mean, it's possible with Deion Dawkins. It's conceivable he even moves inside. I'm not predicting that'll happen, but it could happen with the guys they've added. You could have five different guys at all five positions, four of whom weren't even on the team last year. How about Mitch Morse? We know he's banged up here to start this OTA session, but the Bills invested heavily in him. How familiar are you with him as a player, Eric?
You know, I have a lot of respect for his game. You know, I think he's one of the best, if not the best, center in the NFL, talent-wise, play-wise. He's young in his career. He's a little dinged up right now. Hopefully he'll be get back by the end of OTAs. I spoke with him today after practice, going to grab dinner with him tonight. I'll do anything I can for him to pour into him, but I'm very excited about the center position being manned by a guy without any competition around him this year. That gives the center, like I had for most of my career, the strongest voice in the room, and that's what you need from your center position, what they didn't have last year when you had two centers in competition, that neither of them has a voice. So really excited about that. When you got Josh Allen on his rookie deal and still a manageable contract, then you could pay someone a lot of money to be right in front of him, to pour into him, a guy who's played a bunch of ball, a guy who's super talented and is not going to be back in his face. You know, those are big – that's a big deal for a quarterback. Even if Josh Allen is 6'5", he never wants a guy in his lap. So to put a guy super talented right in front of him is a big deal. I like the pieces they added, that they added a lot of guys with experience in the NFL, guys that have played in games, which nowadays is a huge deal, because when you draft a kid coming from college – it's hard to tell which guys are going to be good because their offenses are so much different. A lot of these guys aren't used to playing with their hand in the dirt, and it takes them more time to develop. And I like them adding some experienced players around Josh Allen, second year in the offense, add some weapons on the outside. Well, none of that matters if you got guys in his lap all day.
And acknowledging that we never really know this, but the schedule looks favorable to the Bills. And, you know, when we were talking in your playing days, Eric, maybe we should wrap it up here after this, but we were talking in your playing days, you know, like most players, you don't want to really say anything inflammatory about the other team. Here, like, you start with the Jets and the Giants and the Bengals. Like, I think the Bills would really want to maybe win at least two of those games just to feel like, you know, they're on a level above really maybe all of those teams.
Yeah, that'd be huge. Yeah, you start off with Jets and Giants, you go back-to-back to New York. Yeah, those would be two huge ones to get. You know, knock out two of your road games. If you can get two wins there, that would be absolutely huge. It would absolutely be huge from a confidence standpoint as well to get rolling like that. I know in 2017 when we broke the playoff drought, we started off that year hot, and it's amazing. You get a little confidence, and you start expecting to win every week. It goes a long way.
All right, Eric. Well, congratulations. If we didn't say that, I'm excited for you. I'm excited that I'll get to see you a little bit.
Right, same here.
Down there. So great to hear the news today.
And really glad you won't be sitting around just waiting for your phone to ring all fall.
No, absolutely. Me too. And I appreciate that, guys. And Shope, you said that Kelso always made you feel welcome. Hopefully I make you feel even more welcome with the relationship we've had over the years.
Thank you.
But it's always a pleasure coming on with you guys. I feel like the 20 minutes goes by a whole lot quicker with you guys than anybody else.
That's very nice.
Nice thanks. You to say that, man.
Have a great time at all those restaurants, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks and congratulations, Eric. Thanks to Sal Capaccio for joining us, too. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, 3-7 weekdays. Stay tuned for Sneaky Joe next here on WGR.
And tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.